Thank you all for joining us again this morning. We did have a handful of technical difficulties when we were getting started this morning, so our live cast was a little bit delayed in getting started, but I believe we're all up and running and everything is good now. So thank you for being patient with us.
only imagine. every chain. Sing your name, Jesus. 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 Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. 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 Break every
never measure you. Am I just a sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Let's pray this morning before we get started. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to gather together as your children. Lord, rain or storm, hot or cool, we thank you that we can be here, that we have the freedom to worship you. We have the freedom to honor and lift up our hands to you and praise your name, Father God. Lord, I thank you for Facebook Live and the other tools that we have to continue to share your gospel from this platform, Father God. Lord, help us to worship you. Help us to be in tune with you now as we hear from your word. Let it soak into our hearts. Let it speak to us. Lord, let it change who we are from the inside out. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks, or past couple weeks, I should say, we've been examining a small portion of Scripture with some very specific instructions that Peter left for us in his first epistle. It's a section of scripture that our modern translations have titled as Be Holy. Now, in this text, Peter wrote several things, but he certainly shared the importance of each of us striving to be holy, for that holiness to be a part of our lives. And we looked at this last week quickly, that idea of being holy simply means being set apart from sin, separated from the sin of this world. We looked at the fact that Peter gave us this commandment to be holy in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. And we're actually going to read that section of scripture again here shortly. So if you want to open to 1 Peter chapter 1, now would be the time for you to do that. Each of us who seeks that personal relationship with Christ are to indeed turn away from sin, or as Peter put it, to be holy. And we talked about some of those characteristics and how they're supposed to be reflected in our lives, how we are to be like our Heavenly Father. As it says, be holy because I am holy. We are to reflect His nature, our Heavenly Father's nature. We explored the idea that we are no longer ignorant or uneducated about this particular subject. Spiritual matters, our sinful condition, have been made known to us, and we can no longer say we are unaware of what's happening around us. It's important that we understand that, and that our lives now are lived differently than they were before we accepted Christ into our lives. One of the key parts of this whole text that we've been talking about is being obedient. We need to obey this particular command and every other command that the Lord has given us. Now, again, Peter assumes that we're doing that. The text, which we'll read here in just a second, makes that phrase a couple of times, as obedient children, or because you are being obedient. As we worked our way through, we talked about the judgment that each of us will face one day, how we will in fact be accountable for our choices and our actions. And we talked about the benefit of keeping our eye on the future hope that Peter shares with us or talked to us about, a future hope that should indeed shape our words as well as our actions. It should shape the choices that we make today. Peter kind of called that or talked to that about it being a reverent fear of God, knowing that God is indeed our righteous judge. And having a certain, not being afraid of that, but having a reverent fear of Him. Basing our decisions on the effects that it will have for our future. Let's read our section of Scripture together again today. And we'll continue on from there. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The majority of our focus last week was on one verse. Verse 17, which read, "Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear." Once that warning of judgment was written, Peter takes a moment to remind us how we were purchased, how we were redeemed. Verse 18 of our text. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Now, to his original hearers, there are a couple of things that would have absolutely been very clearly communicated in that verse of scripture that Peter wrote. The idea of being redeemed, that was incredibly important to Peter's hearers, both Jew and Gentile, in the very first century. See, we don't realize this, but slavery was not uncommon at that time, in the very first century. In fact, Scripture talks a great deal about slavery. But it also talks about the idea of being set free, and for a slave to be set free. So this idea of redemption that Peter spoke about was an incredibly familiar concept for them. And it was something that they passionately longed for in their lives. They understood what it meant to be free. They understood what it meant to be redeemed. They understood what it meant when he talked about a price being paid. Let's be honest today, you and I have no concept of what it means to be enslaved. None whatsoever. And don't misunderstand me, we have our history and we have a lot of information about slavery, but you and I have never been subject to slavery. And we have absolutely no idea what it would be like to be controlled by another person. We have never experienced that personally in our lives, and we don't truly understand it for what it is. But Peter's original hearers understood it oh too well. They knew what it meant to be enslaved, and being redeemed was something that they passionately pursued. When they were redeemed, they would not only no longer be somebody's property, but they would then have the freedoms that were available to everybody else. In the first century, when a slave became free, they could own land. They could build homes. They could acquire wealth. They could start a business. In fact, many of them became wealthy themselves after they gained their freedom. So they dreamed of that. They pursued that. They went after that redemption because they understood what it was about. That word redemption is something we use a lot as Christians. And I think sometimes we try to spiritualize it and make it much more than what it really is. Being redeemed simply means to gain or regain your freedom. To be free, that's what it means. To be redeemed. Now, as we read, Peter said they had to pay for their redemption, and he indicated how that was done. He explained that it was done monetarily in their time, with silver or with gold. They had to buy their freedom. A payment would be made, and the slave would be set free. And that payment could be made by another person, or that payment could be made by the slave themselves. If they could save up enough for it, they could buy their own freedom. That Peter was really trying to drive home a point here when he was talking to his hearers, because it was something they very much understood in their lives. They knew the desire to be set free, they knew the cost to be set free, and they knew the work that was involved, the sacrifice that was involved in order to obtain that freedom. Peter also reminded them and us of a very different kind of freedom in this text. A spiritual freedom. Not a freedom that can be purchased with any kind of monetary item. Not even silver or gold, which we still hold very close today as being important or somehow valuable to us. The redemption of this particular freedom that Peter talked about was one that was paid with one precious payment, a payment to never be repeated. It was made once on behalf of all mankind so that all may be free. We know what this is about today, much more maybe than even Peter's hearers did at the time. We understand today the reason we celebrate, the reason we worship. We understand that clearly today. It is because of the freedom that Christ purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. A price that he paid for you and I and for the rest of the world so that we could experience true freedom. A freedom that outside of Christ cannot be understood. It was paid by a very precious, unearned price. And it was paid for you and I, as well as Peter's hearers, and every generation that follows you and I. The reason that price was paid was so that we might be redeemed. Or as Peter said earlier in this section of Scripture, so that we might be holy. He paid that price so that we can be separated from sin, set apart, holy as he is holy. In that same section of Scripture, Peter makes a comment about this redemption. And he says it's different than what our fathers passed on to us. Let me read it again for you. Verse 18. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers. What is he talking about here? What is this empty way of life that he talked about? What does it mean? Who is he referring to when he says that? This empty way of life that he's talking about is simply a life that is focused on the here and now. A life that is so consumed with today that they have forgotten what the future hope is all about, or how important that future hope is. This earthly life, with all of its power and glory and fame and fortune, that is what he's talking about when he talks about an empty way of life. It's not uncommon for people, you and I even perhaps, to set our eyes on a specific goal for our lives. Many times when we do that, it's circled around fortune or wealth or fame of some sort. That's not uncommon for people to do. What's also not uncommon is when people achieve that goal, when they reach that level of success that they've aimed for, they are still very disappointed and empty and depressed and down, even though they've achieved the goal that they've established. Why? Because all of that earthly stuff that they have sought after has not filled the hole in their heart. It has not filled the hole left in their life. The result of this world will always be emptiness. Always. Doesn't matter what fortune or fame or what you have achieved on this earth, it will always be emptiness. Only through the resurrection of Christ, only as we live to please Him, can we find that true satisfaction and the ultimate redemption that we are in need of. Nothing that our forefathers, nothing that this world could offer us, compares any way to what we find in Christ. Nothing that this world offers us will satisfy the need of our soul. From here, Peter talks a bit more about the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. We're not going to go through all of that text this morning. If you are a believer, you are very aware of what Christ has done for us in our lives. If you are not a believer, I encourage you to read through that text very carefully and understand what Christ has done for you. From here, let's take just a quick peek at verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20 of 1 Peter. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. God's plan of salvation was not just haphazardly put together. It's been a plan for you and I, for our lives, for our redemptions, since before the creation of the world. And look at what this text says. Who does this clearly benefit? It was done, it was revealed in these last times for your sake. Christ came to earth for you and I, for our benefit, for our sake. He did everything that he did. He said everything he said. Every action, every parable, every word spoken was done so that we can be right before God, so that we can be redeemed. Peter moves on, verse 22. Now that you have been purified by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Peter actually circles back around here, and he talks about a couple of points that he made early on in this section of Scripture. He again is making some assumptions like we talked about before. Listen to what he said. He said, now that you have purified yourselves. He's assuming that you have made that step, that you have done what has been commanded of you. How? By obeying the truth. Not obeying opinion, not obeying the empty world's way of life, but by obeying the truth. All of the talk about being holy. All of this talk about setting our eyes on a future hope are based on the assumption that we are pure and obedient. Do we get that? Do you get the idea that these qualities in our lives are incredibly important? Do we begin to understand that hope and holiness are byproducts of redemption and purification and obedience? You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have the former without the latter. To be holy, to have a future hope, to see the redemption that was promised for you and I, we must be pure. We must be holy. We must live in obedience. Peter spends a great deal of time tying all these things together for us, how one works to the other, how one reflects the other. We cannot enjoy the reward without the work that goes into it. And remember, Peter is not talking to the world here, but to fellow believers. Right away at the beginning of his book, in the first chapter, he says he is talking to God's elect. That is you and I, those of us who have put our hope in Christ. He is taking a lot of time to emphasize to us what these words mean and why they are so important. He does that because every one of us needs to hear them. Every one of us. We spend a lot of times, and if you're honest with yourself, you will agree with this. We spend a lot of time pointing out the flaws in other people. We spend a lot of times seeing what everybody else is doing wrong and ignoring the fact that we're just as guilty as everybody else. We ignore the fact that we need to stop and examine ourselves, do a self-check of who we are and where we're at. We ignore the lack of obedience in our own lives so that we can point out somebody else's error or shortcomings. There is no question, if you are familiar with Scripture at all, there is no question that we are moving closer and closer to the end of days. I mean, just look around you for a few minutes. Turn on the news for 30 seconds. See what is happening in the world today. See how people are treating other people, even inside the church. In these days, the church should be growing and expanding and multiplying. We should be spreading the gospel truth because we know the truth. Because we know what matters. We know what's important. We should be doing that constantly. We are the only ones, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are the only ones who understand this future hope that Peter has talked to us about. And instead of focusing on this empty way of life, perhaps like our fathers did, perhaps like they passed down to us, we need to focus on the eternity that awaits us, the hope we have in Christ. Instead, we allow ourselves to be divided over silly, petty differences. Again, watch the news, watch all the stuff. It's ridiculous what divides people. And again, even inside the church, It's crazy how something as simple as a face mask, a little piece of paper, has divided people right down the middle. I don't understand how that can tear us apart the way that it does. It is crazy, absolutely crazy, when I hear people arguing over wearing or not wearing a face mask. That should not be something that separates the body of Christ. How do we allow all these petty differences to affect our actions as believers? It can only be if we've lost sight of what really matters. It can only be as we have rejected this call to holiness and keeping our eyes focused on the future hope that we need to. Peter makes it clear as he continued on to love each other, love our brothers and sisters in Christ with a love that is deep and sincere and according to Scripture. He finishes this section of text with one last directive for each of us to heed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The first word I want you to note here is that word crave. What happens when we crave something? We long for it. We seek it out. In a way, we beg for it. We look for it. We go after it until we receive it. We crave it. Think about that newborn baby that he referenced. What happens to a newborn baby when it gets hungry? It cries, it whines, it tries to get the attention of whoever it can. It fusses until it gets what it's longing for, which is what? Nourishment, food, milk. That's what it's after. That baby is begging for someone to feed it. Peter is telling us, as believers in Christ, to do the same thing. Crave that food. Crave that spiritual nourishment. Go after it. Long for it. Seek it. Get it above and beyond anything else you seek in your life. What else does he tell us to crave? But pure spiritual milk. Not some watered down version of the truth. Not some tainted version of what's going on, but pure spiritual milk. You know, something can only be pure when it is free from contamination. And the only thing that is free from contamination, spiritually speaking, is the Word of God. Nobody else's opinion, mine included, none of it matters. What matters is the truth that is in Scripture for you and I to adhere to, for you and I to live by. All of this instruction that Peter has been giving to the elect, to you and I, is so that we can grow up in our salvation, so that we can mature in Christ. He makes another simple comment here, and if we don't listen closely, we might miss this particular comment that he makes. He says, do all of this now that you have tasted the goodness of the Lord. How many of us here have tasted the goodness of the Lord? Have you seen it? Have you heard it? Have you felt it? Have you tasted it in your life? Then why in the world would we not go after more of it? Why would we turn from it? Why would we go back to our old ways? Once we have tasted that the Lord is good, we should be longing, craving, seeking more of it. Not going back to our prior tasteless life, but seeking what we have been given, seeking what we know is good. We should be running after what the Lord has given each of us. Let me just say, we may differ on a few thoughts or ideas or concepts here and there along the way. But as believers in Jesus Christ, not just here in this church, but around the world, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be united more now than we have ever been united before. We need to love and encourage each other like we never have before. And we cannot allow any petty differences to divide us in any way, shape, or form. We need to stand firm in the word, in the work, in the relationship we have through Jesus Christ. What Peter does here in these few verses that we've spent the last few weeks on is give us a circle of instruction to follow. Listen as I abbreviate it. It's a circle of instruction. Prepare yourself for the work that this is going to take. Trust in the future hope that the Lord has promised to each of us. Be obedient children to that future hope. Through that obedience, be holy, set apart from sin. Seek the redemption that the Lord has provided for you. Crave that spiritual purity. Grow up mature in your salvation so that you can keep on preparing yourself for the work that this will be, trusting in the future hope that the Lord has promised us. Read and reread this section of Scripture that Peter has given us, because it tells us how it all works together and how we need to seek that purity and be obedient and trust so that we can plan for the future and be right before our God. It's all there in 8 or 10 verses, whatever that is. I didn't count. It's all there. We just need to obey it. Lord, thank you for the instruction you have given us. Thank you that it is there for us to read and understand, for it to remind us, Lord, of where our focus is supposed to be, how we are supposed to continue to pursue that holiness that you have provided for us, that redemption that you have provided for us. God, help us to grow together, to unite together, to run together, to be the body together that you have called us to be. Help us to stand in unity. Help us to love our brothers and sisters as we are supposed to encourage and to edify and to build each other up. God, give us strength. God, give us victory. Help us to honor you today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you and have an awesome week in Jesus.